From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 29th day of January 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, Democratic lawmakers in Washington would like to tighten government inspections of food processing plants. And House Ag Committee Chair Colin Peterson says President Obama's choice to head the CFTC is in trouble on the Hill. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. That'll be followed up by an update on how one beef cattle industry economist sees the Washington landscape changing. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
May futures for the day at 390, or rather at 591, down 17, and July wheat at 602 and 3 quarters, down 16 and 3 quarters. September futures, 625 and 3 quarters, 16 and a quarter lower. March corn futures, 381 and 3 quarters, down 2 and 3 quarters. The May at $3.93 from the corn pit, 2.5 lower. July at 403 and 3 quarters, down 2.5. And September corn, 414, 2.5 cents lower. December futures, 427 and a quarter, down 2.75. March crude oil, $41.44 a barrel, 72 cents lower. Ethanol is trading down 1.2, and the RBOB is just about 5 cents lower at this hour. Soy complex now, nearby March beans, 970.5, down 12 cents. May futures, 977 and three quarters, down 12 and a quarter, and July at 985, down 12.5 cents. August soybeans, 980, 11 lower. September futures, 956, down 7. November soybeans, $9.31, 3.5 cents lower for the day. And January futures at 940.5, down 3.5. March bean meal at 308.70, down 280. March bean oil, 54 cents lower at 32.37. February live cattle down 7.5 cents at $81.10. January feeders at 94.27.5, up 7.5. And the February lean hogs finished at $57 even today, 27.5 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. March crude oil futures at $41.44 a barrel, down 72 cents. The April at 46.04, 3 cents lower. February ethanol, $1.58.6, 1.2 cents lower. Natural gas trading at 4.64, up 22 cents for the day. The RBOB gasoline at $1.23.4, just about 5 cents higher. February heating oil up 0.6 cents at $1.42.8, and the Feb propane at 71 cents did not trade today. Gold futures at $905.10 an ounce, up $16.90. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 81.92. It's down just about 183 points at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies and light snow flurries in Illinois and Indiana. Lows will range from 2 below 0 in northwestern Illinois to 20 in southern Indiana. Friday in northwestern Illinois should be partly sunny. In the remainder of Illinois and northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few lingering flurries, then it'll become partly sunny. In central and southern Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few snow showers, scattered flurries. Highs will range from 15 in the north to 32 in the far south. The extended weather forecast says there's little significant precip expected over the two-state area over the next week. Several clippers will bring, though, light snow to the area centered around southern Lake Michigan through the next 10 days. A more organized and more vigorous storm could bring heavier precip to the entire area around February the 7th, says our own Mike Sola. Forecast models indicate that a couple of more potent storms may target that region in the following week. Cooler than average temps will be the norm into this first full week of February.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois on a Thursday afternoon. We always talk on Thursdays with Dan Zwicker. He's at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Last week you were traveling, but this week you're at least in-house today. Have you been on the road much this week?
Just one day. Went over to Gordyville Farm Show yesterday.
Oh, how was that?
It was pretty good. Actually, the building was a whole lot warmer than I thought it was going to be when I left Bloomington that morning. But there was enough of attendance that we had body heat, and it was fairly warm in there and comfortable.
That is a really big building there outside of Rantoul. And it's, you know, that's a pretty nice facility to hold functions in, that's for sure.
There's no doubt about that.
I bet you had a good time. Did you talk to many producers?
Oh, sure. A lot of them stopped by the booth, wanted to know. I guess the big question was, when is this market going to turn up and rally? And I suppose that's the number one question that I've had so far this year at a lot of the speaking engagements that I've had. And at the moment, I really can't give them a whole lot of encouragement because the market does seem to be following something a little more seasonal this year than it has over the past 2 to 3 years. And I know everybody's kind of got into a mode here of looking for February strength as the market kind of looked ahead and tried to ensure a good acreage planning because we had growing demand base. This year things are a little different, so the market's not quite as concerned about the acreage mix, or at least at this time of year anyway, Todd.
Well, tell me about the seasonal trends normally in February for corn and beans.
Well, as a rule, markets have a strong tendency to work themselves into a late January, first half February low. A lot of that seasonal weakness is kind of related to farmers needing cash grain or money out of their inventory by March 1 for tax bills or for one reason or the other. A lot of times the South American crop is priced in during that time frame, and then all of a sudden once we get past that magical March 1 date, then the market then looks toward the North American growing season, and then we begin to worry about planting conditions and what farmers are going to plant and whatnot. So we start then looking toward that March 31st report. But this is a very typical dead of winter. We're going to have six more weeks of winter, I guess, the groundhog. I'll predict that, at least the way the winter's been going so far. So that's kind of where we're at. Demand-wise, we have seen at least an uptick in corn demand, but we're so far behind on our exports pace that the market doesn't pay too much attention to that, but at least that's encouraging. And I think that you could probably relate that to a couple reasons. Maybe people are a little concerned about the Argentine supplies. They're a major exporter of corn, and this year with the downward cut as far as weather goes, they're not going to be much of a competitor this year in the last half of the marketing year, so I think that's brought some interest forward. Also, I think there's a natural pent-up demand. Nobody bought too much during November, December, and I think after the first of the year, they decided to start coming in here and start booking. So we do see at least an uptick in corn demand anyway.
Well, an uptick in corn demand, will that result in the month of February with commercials at least trying to bid up the deferred or the new crop months in order to attract acres?
Well, no. Everybody, I think, has a little misunderstanding on how commercials operate. I know when I was on the other side of the fence, being mostly a seller to commercials, that's some of the talk we would talk about, but that's not necessarily the case. I mean, commercials are spot traders. They're more worried about the next 30 days or next 90 days. Naturally, end users begin to get a little concerned about potential supply-demand changes as they look down the road, whether or not their livestock feeder, whether or not their a crusher or an ethanol producer, they may begin to, if they worry about that, they may begin to kind of maybe hedge some of their distant needs as we look down the road. But I don't see any play, so to speak, to bid up the market to try to encourage acres.
Well, without the commercials doing that, and you say that they don't, and that they're spot users, relatively speaking. And
we're traders, is
traders,
what we are.
Right. In the cash market, then what, if anything, might turn the seasonal trend lower in the month of February to attract acres if those should so be needed? Will there be enough speculators to do that, do you think?
Well, I don't. I mean, the market, the way the balance sheet is reading, now the trade can be reading it the wrong way, but I mean, the way the market, the trade is reading it, that the carryout's probably well above 2 billion bushels. Demand has been that weak here. Therefore, the trade feels that we could probably lose a couple million acres of corn from last year's planting level and still have an adequate supply for the coming year. So that's why the market doesn't appear to be in position to try to rally to ensure acres. I think it might sometime in March or April worry about losing too many acres. I do think that there'll be an early season worry. There usually is in the market, whether it's delayed plantings or not enough rain or what kind of mix there is. I do think we'll get something like that. But that, I think, is more of a March, April type issue, and we'll kind of play it from there. I don't see that happening here in February. Now, February, this has kind of been an interesting year because farmers have been reluctant to buy fertilizer, buy their inputs, whether it's seed corn or seed beans. They've tried to stay as flexible as possible. Therefore, they don't necessarily need as much money out of their inventory, so they've been relatively slow sellers of inventory basically since harvest. Now, at some point in time, it looks to me like there's going to be a train wreck, but that could be postponed, I guess, until after planting. But if we don't see some pickup in movement in grain over the next 30 or 60 days and farmers hold on to this inventory as we go on into the summer months, if we're looking at a big crop or favorable crop prospects, we could see the bottom fall out of the markets quite severely, I think, as we go into the growing season. But there's a lot of water to go underneath the bridge. But it does look like we're going to try to see a big push of country movement be pushed into a very narrow window if something doesn't begin to give fairly soon.
Well, that sounds kind of familiar with a end of July, early August, just bottom dropping out of the marketplace.
Well, we haven't had one of those for a couple of years. and we may, you know, there's a lot of ifs and twists and turns in that, but I do know that farmers have been relatively slow sellers of inventory since fall, and I think a lot of it is because they don't necessarily need the money. I think there's a few that maybe need some money for income tax purposes, but until they start writing their checks for seed corn and fertilizer and that kind of stuff, they can kind of postpone some of their selling. And you just kind of look at the loan entries. We got over a million bushels of corn under loan, and loan prices are, what, $2 or something like that. So it's well underneath the market. So it does indicate that farmers are kind of digging in their heels to hang on to this inventory.
Well, give me the bad news. What do you think downside potential might be?
Well, so far we're hanging in there okay. I think in the short run here, the corn market is open or vulnerable to a couple weeks of weakness as we kind of go into this mid-February time frame. If you look at 10-week cycle pattern, that would kind of point toward a low sometime here during the first half of February. Beans, same way. I don't think it would be a big break, but I do think we could go down underneath these January lows, settle in, and then we could try to go up as the market kind of worries about planting conditions as we get into this March-April time frame. As far as ultimate downside risk as we get into the summer months, that's going to depend a whole lot on how, you know, the growing season's unfolding and whether or not demand has turned around at that point. But there's a scary period out here at some point in time if everything goes fine. And, of course, I know that that's not necessarily the case. A lot of times there's curveballs that the trade has been thrown at. But there's plenty of supply out there based upon the demand disappearance, what we have right now.
Dan, thanks much.
Very well.
You have a good afternoon. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois on a Thursday. Time to check in now with Dave Dickey. He has all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, U.S. Democratic lawmakers unveiled legislation yesterday to increase government inspections of food and drug manufacturing plants in an effort to keep tainted products off the market. Under the bill, food producers and drug makers would be required to pay fees to the Food and Drug Administration to help boost the frequency of plant inspections. Food facilities, both domestic and foreign, would need to be inspected at least once every 4 years under the bill. The measure would also give the FDA added authority, including the power to order mandatory recalls of tainted foods or unsafe medicines. The introduction of the legislation comes as the list of recalled peanut products linked to a national salmonella outbreak just keeps growing. Already more than 400 kinds of cakes, cookies, and other goods have been pulled off the shelves. Managers at the Blakely, Georgia plant, owned by Peanut Corporation of America, continued shipping peanut products even after they were found to contain salmonella. More than 500 people have gotten sick in the outbreak, and at least 8 may have died as a result of salmonella infection. House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson says President Barack Obama's nomination of Gary Gensler to head the Commodity Futures Trading Commission is in trouble. Peterson says his main concern about Gensler is that he, like many others of Obama's nominees for financial jobs, worked at Goldman Sachs. Peterson said Wednesday that some of Gensler's meetings with senators who are not on the Agriculture Committee have not gone well. The CFTC has jurisdiction over the agricultural and financial futures exchanges in Chicago, Minneapolis, Kansas City, and New York. Peterson yesterday spoke out on a number of other issues as well. Peterson says the Obama administration should leave alone a U.S. rule requiring country of origin labels on meat sold in grocery stores. And Peterson took a step back from his original plan for an anti-speculation bill, saying all over-the-counter derivatives may not have to be cleared by federally regulated clearinghouses. Peterson says drafting of the bill should be completed this week so the committee could hold hearings over the next 2 weeks and approve a bill before a mid-February recess. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. You can hear both of those programs anytime you'd like and other ag programming on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you can't get to the radio stations or listen to us on the web, you can always dial this number and hear at 10:30 and 3:15 daily an update of the marketplace. at 217-333-3434. We call it our MAP, or Mobile Analyst Portal. It's just a telephone line with an answering machine of sorts on it, and you can call it anytime you'd like, 24 hours a day. We update it during the weekdays at 10:30 with the opening market reports and 3:15 with the closing market reports. A bit of analysis, some of the numbers at 217-333-3434. Now up next is the National Cattlemen's Beef Association holds its annual convention this week in Phoenix. Washington is mulling over that new stimulus package with the House approving the measure yesterday. NCBA's chief economist Greg Dodd talks about his industry's stand on the issue.
My role as an economist, I have a pretty strong opinion on this, and I talk about this a lot around the country. This is global. And I really don't think that the United States has enough, can possibly print enough money to pull the world up out of this funk. I actually believe that it's going to take some generation and economic growth in places like Russia and India, China and Brazil, where Brazil, Russia, India, China, the BRIC is the term we use in economics. Talk about those economies are going to have to get back on track. I mean, those guys have lost 80% or plus of their equity in their stock markets as well. Seeing some signs of resurgence in those parts of the world, there's a huge percentage of the planet's population in those countries. And really, to me, that's the signal that they're coming around is going to be the best signal of all, that maybe we can get the ship righted at least.
Another issue that NCBA is tackling this week is that of COOL, or country of origin labeling.
First point I would make is COOL is the law of the land. I mean, we're going to do this, and I don't think that's really the issue. What I'm very concerned about is the fact that 60% of our beef exports, somewhere around $2.2 billion worth, plus or minus, go to Canada and Mexico. They're our top two markets. And just from a general farm boys from Kansas perspective, it's not real smart to try to do something that sticks your finger in the eye of your two biggest markets when you're not doing so well as an industry at the moment.
Dowd's biggest concern is that when COOL is implemented, it's done right with our neighbors in mind.
My point is we need to be really careful. And let me tell you, this week we're going to be having a very good discussion with Mexico and sitting down and talking through all these issues and making sure both sides completely understand where we're at, what we need to be doing. We'll continue that dialogue with Canada. And that's a big part of the battle is having that dialogue and the discussion and getting everything out there on the same page so we know where we're at.
Dowd says to do otherwise, alienating the nation's two biggest customers would be detrimental to the cattle industry. Our thanks go out to Andy Vance of ABN and the Buckeye Ag Radio Network in DeGraff, Ohio, for providing the audio with NCBA Chief Economist Greg Dowd. Andy Vance, a member, of course, of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agriculture Outlook panels. Tonight we'll be at the Effingham Farm Bureau offices at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities, Mike Georgie of Allendale, and Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities. That's at the Effingham Farm Bureau offices tonight at 7 o'clock. The meeting is free. No advance registration is required. Come on by and get your agricultural marketing questions answered ahead of the planting season. We hope to see you there.
In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the agricultural weather. Stay with us. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon from the University of Illinois.
It's National Corn Chip Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1817, William Farrell was born. An American meteorologist, he contributed significantly to the understanding of oceanic and atmospheric circulation. Farrell was the first to mathematically demonstrate the influence of the planet's rotation on the presence of high and low pressure belts circling the Earth. In 1878, the first patent for a glass milk container was issued to George Lester. In 1924, Carl R. Taylor of Cleveland patented the first U.S. ice cream cone rolling machine. In 1927, Louis Urey was born. A Canadian-American chemical engineer, he invented alkaline batteries, which now account for about 80% of all dry cell batteries sold in the world. Urey's prototype alkaline battery is on display at the Smithsonian Institution. And in 1934, Fritz Haber died, a German physical chemist. His development of a method of synthesizing ammonia led to the commercial large-scale production of nitrogen fertilizer. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe is Pete Leavitt. He's in Massachusetts this afternoon. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
I'm fine, Todd.
Well, how much snow did you get out of this last system?
Oh, we got right here probably about 6 to 8 inches. We got a lot of sleet and rain. The heavier snow was up in central areas of Massachusetts and northern New England, but we're still piling the snow on here.
Yeah, still piling the snow on there. We got through with 4 to 5 inches here in Urbana-Champaign, much deeper if you went to the south, though.
Yeah.
And tell me about the weather forecast as we look a little further out.
Okay, the weather, rather interesting. We're this week for a change, the forecast region, the Midwest, is going to be mostly a spectator to a lot of interesting weather going on elsewhere. We've got a cold front coming through the state right now, so this little mild spell today of getting up around freezing, that's going to end with temperatures dropping down tonight into the probably into the teens by tomorrow morning, and we're going to see temperatures rather cold tomorrow, and then it bounces back up. By Sunday, it'll be a little bit warmer, might even hit 40 on Sunday or the low 40s. And then an Arctic front comes by, and that's the interesting one. That comes by late Monday and into Tuesday. It's on its way through. It'll be on its way through the Midwest and the Mid-South, but its rendezvous with destiny will take place over the Gulf of Mexico, where it will initiate the development of a storm system in the northeastern Gulf that's going to race up the East Coast into the northern Mid-Atlantic states by Tuesday and then up into Quebec on late Wednesday. And that storm will be a monster storm there. It's going to produce a lot of snow in the Appalachians and the East Coast west of the Hudson Valley. Here in New England, we'll probably see a little rain, but the Midwest, it'll just be on the sidelines watching this thing going on to the east and south of them. And one interesting thing of note is that I think the cold air is going to penetrate far enough to the south to generate some freezing temperatures in Florida, which might be of significance to the citrus crop down there. And that would be taking place Tuesday night and Wednesday, so you might watch for that down there. But as far as we're concerned in the Midwest, in those areas, it looks like just a winter week, up and down temperatures, rather cold on the cold side from Monday through Friday.
It'll be nice to be sitting on the sidelines and watching somebody else get battered. Let's talk about
that's the good news on the weather. For a change, you can watch the weather going on somewhere else.
Yeah,
should be interesting on the East Coast.
Yeah, speaking of watching it somewhere else, we've got about a minute left. Are you on the camp that they'll get enough rainfall in South America to save and salvage a corn crop or not?
Oh, the Argentine is the problem area again. They're going to have a few showers this week, and then, unfortunately, it gets drier again next week with isolated showers. I don't think there's really enough rain for the Argentine to bring it back. Things are much better shape in Brazil, although southern Brazil is suffering a little bit from the Argentine problem next door. But from central Brazil northward through the soybean belt, abundant precipitation. They'll probably be complaining about too much precipitation across the bean belt by the end of next week.
And probably soybean rust in that event, too.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Thanks much.
Okay, my pleasure.
And Pete Levitt is meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Thursday afternoon. Thanks for listening. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.